just lost the title up there, but it'll come up again.
Good morning. The title of my presentation is The Effects of an Adolescent Asthma Education Intervention on Knowledge, Intention, Behavior, Self-Efficacy, and Self-Consciousness. My name is Kara Zografis, and I'm from California State University, Fresno. The other authors of this presentation are Helen Hotmarshak, Christine Niche, and David Dijak, who are from Loma Linda University. I have no relationships to disclose. Statement of the problem. Had to add that. Asthma is an inflammatory condition of the bronchial airways that affects 20 million individuals in the United States. According to the California Health Interview Survey, 3.9 million children and adults, or 11.9% of the population, have received a diagnosis of asthma at some time in their life. And this is referred to as lifetime asthma prevalence. And you can compare this to our national rate, which is 10.1%. Within California, Fresno County has the highest lifetime asthma prevalence rate, and it has been referred to as the asthma capital of the state. And there are a number of reasons for this. One is the poor air quality in this area, and the other has to do with the landscape of Fresno County. It is shaped like a bowl, and so the pollutants get in, they get trapped, and then they can't get back out. Among adolescents, asthma is an important cause of morbidity and mortality. Adolescent asthma, when compared with younger children, is associated with higher mortality rates. One of the reasons associated with this is that adolescents tend to deny that they have asthma, and then they don't take their medication properly. Morbidity rates in this group are also high, with many adolescents reporting that their symptoms interfere with daily activities, such as schoolwork and physical activity. In terms of the literature review on previous asthma education interventions targeting adolescents, authors of one theory-based intervention with a comparison group found improvements in knowledge and self-efficacy. Improvements in knowledge and self-efficacy were also found in pilot studies, but the findings of these studies are questionable because they had a small sample size and they also did not have a control or a comparison group. Self-management behavior, specifically adherence to medical regimens, were examined in a focus group. Most of the participants stated that they weren't afraid to take their medication in the presence of others, but some were afraid of the negative reaction, specifically teasing from their peers in terms of taking medication in front of others. The purpose of this study was to evaluate the effects of an asthma education intervention based in part on Bandura's social cognitive theory, on adolescents' knowledge, intention, behavior, self-efficacy, and self-consciousness. For the theoretical framework, we used the social cognitive theory, and the curriculum was developed by the American Lung Association of the East Bay, and we just incorporated social cognitive theory into this curriculum. We looked at four constructs: self-efficacy, observational learning, reinforcement, and outcome expectations. In terms of the application of this theory, for self-efficacy, we integrated many components to increase self-efficacy. The reason for this is we know that self-efficacy is an important prereq for increasing asthma behavior. For asthma-related information, we gave the participants information about what happens in the lungs during an asthma episode. We talked about triggers, symptoms, warning signs, and how to control their asthma. And then we also incorporated vicarious and mastery experiences, which are two primary ways in which to increase self-efficacy. The vicarious experiences involved the adolescents observing me while I demonstrated how to use the peak flow meter, the spacer, and the inhaler. Then they performed each of these tasks, which were the mastery experiences, and then once they correctly performed them, they were given a reinforcement, which was just a small $1 gift, for correctly demonstrating the behaviors. For the social outcome expectations, we designed role-playing activities, and we focused primarily on teasing from peers, and it gave the adolescents an opportunity to practice how they would respond if they were teased because of using their asthma medication. The study design used was a non-equivalent comparison group design with delayed intervention in one group. 6 schools were included with 2 schools in each group. Schools 1, 3, and 5 received the intervention first, and schools 2, 4, and 6 received the intervention 3 weeks later. And because of this, those schools served as a comparison group because they only got the assessment, they didn't get the intervention. So we were able to assess the effectiveness of this program at week 3. And the schools were staggered over various time periods. Baseline measurements for all 5 variables were collected at week 1. The comparison group did not take the knowledge assessment at week 3, so we were only able to examine the effectiveness of the program on the 4 other variables. And the reason for this is by the end of the intervention, the comparison group had to take the questionnaire 5 different times. And they started to complain about that, and the questionnaire was long. And so in order to decrease the number of questions, we took out the knowledge assessment. Follow-up measurements on all 5 variables were collected 5 weeks later, and this was designed to determine the long-term impact of the program. And the study was conducted in 8 phases, 1 for each school, and then we did an additional phase for some of the schools in order to get a larger sample size. A phase included the intervention and all of the testing. In terms of the dependent variables and measures, we had an 88-item questionnaire. We used questionnaires that had been previously developed, had been tested for reliability and validity, and then we also developed our own items. For knowledge, we used a 31-item questionnaire that had been previously developed, and for self-efficacy, we used a 14-item questionnaire that had been previously developed. We then created our own items for intention, behavior, and self-efficacy. For intention, we looked at intention while alone. Like, for example, do they intend to avoid their triggers? Do they intend to use their peak flow meter and spacer when they are alone? And then also, do they intend to do these things in the presence of their peers? And the Krongbo's alpha for that was 0.833. For behavior, we wrote items that had to do with current peak flow meter and spacer use, and also self-reported behavior in the past week. And we got some ideas about the development of these questions from the American Lung Association. And then for self-consciousness, we wrote items to assess feelings regarding reaction of peers when people are using the asthma management devices. And the Krongbo's alpha for this was 0.799. In terms of recruitment, we sent out about 1,300 packets to parents of adolescents. The packets contained a cover letter describing the intervention and then a permission form along with an incentive to return them. But we only got 210 back, and of the 210, 110 gave consent. So then we decided to give the adolescents the packets to take home to their parents. We did this with 229 adolescents. And we got 15 back, and of the 15 back, we got 15 that gave consent. 104 adolescents total gave assent to be in the program, but only 87 finished the entire program. In terms of data collection, it occurred in 8 phases, and for each phase, study instruments were given to both schools at baseline. The intervention school then received session 1 during week 1, and then they got the rest of the intervention during weeks 2 and 3. Also during week 3, the comparison school got the assessment so we could determine the effectiveness of the program, and then they began session 1. They received the rest of the sessions during weeks 4 and 5. They had an assessment at week 5, and then everybody got a questionnaire 5 weeks after the intervention. Here is the table demonstrating the baseline differences in demographic variables, and as you can see, we had no differences in age, gender, grade level, or ethnicity at baseline. We also checked for the key variables, and there were no differences between the groups. Here's the results between intervention and comparison group. Again, no statistically significant differences for the variables studied, nor for the variables studied in terms of behavior. However, we did find statistically significant improvements over time after we collapsed the groups. We saw this for knowledge from baseline to post and post to follow-up. We saw it for intentions when alone from baseline to post and baseline to follow-up. And then also for self-efficacy from baseline to post. And you'll notice that from post to follow-up, it was a statistically significant decrease, and we'll talk about why in a moment. And then we also saw some statistically significant improvements for spacer use, for peak flow meter use, and number of days the peak flow meter was used for all of the time periods, and then for number of days the spacer was used from baseline to follow-up. So overall, we didn't find differences between groups. This was probably due to low statistical power. We didn't have a very large sample size, and if we did, perhaps we would have seen differences between the groups. But we did see statistically significant improvements over time for the following variables: knowledge, intention, self-efficacy, spacer and peak flow meter use, and number of days the peak flow meter was used. And then also improvements in peak flow meter use and number of days it was used in the past week. The decrease in knowledge that we found might have been due to a loss of participants. We went from 87 to 46. We lost quite a few to follow-up. And then we found improvements for intention, spacer and peak flow meter use, and number of days the peak flow meter and spacer were used in the past week. And this indicates the long-term impact. One of the interesting findings we found is that we didn't see changes in self-consciousness. This might have been due to the fact that there are so many people in Fresno who have asthma that maybe they're not self-conscious about their asthma. In closing, we didn't find differences between groups, as I mentioned, but we did see differences over time for some of the variables, and the most consistent findings were relating to the asthma-related behaviors. Thank you.